What does France, Mexico, Kenya, United States, Chile, Canada, and New Zealand all have in common? Well, they are all locations for this year's Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles, like the other holy days, are commanded to be kept. Now, you don't have to turn there, but some of the places mentioned for the feast in the New Testament include the book of John, John chapter 7, Jesus having the discourse with in the midst of the feast. There's also references to Luke 2, Mark 14, Matthew 26, Luke 22nd, John 13, book of Acts has many, in chapter 12, chapter 2, chapter 18, chapter 27, and also 1 Corinthians 5 mentions the feast. They all mention the holy days. Question for you, how should we be observing the holy days? And why does a church of God observe them the way that we do? Well, today we're going to look at how ancient Judah observed one of these feast days more than about 2,400 years ago. This will help us to better understand how we should be keeping these days, including the Feast of Tabernacles and the various other holy days. I'd like all of us, to please go to the book of Nehemiah. Let's go to the book of Nehemiah, to the example that we're going to be looking at today. Nehemiah chapter 8. And we're going to begin to read in verse 2. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of men and women and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. If you know your biblical chronology, the first day of the seventh month is the Feast of Trumpets. We're going to be keeping the Feast of Trumpets in a short while. And what did he do on the Feast of Trumpets? Verse number 3. Then he read from it, the book of the law, in the open square that was in front of the water gate, from morning until midday. You think our services are long. This was from morning to midday, before the men and women and those who could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. So Ezra the scribe stood on a platform of wood, which they had made for the purpose. We've all been to feasts where the speaker's elevated. And besides him at his right hand stood various officials, it names them all. Verse 5, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Now this was a time when not everybody had a copy of the law. They were very, very valuable. And to show respect for the law and the writings in the scroll, when it was open, everyone stood up. Verse 6, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Then all the people answered, amen, amen, which means so be it, while lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And it talks about some various officials there. These officials helped the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So the law was expounded to them. So they read distinctly from the book of the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, who was a governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord. As we've seen, it was the Feast of Trumpets. Holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. You remember, these had been some of the people that had come back to help rebuild Jerusalem and the temple. Verse 10, then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of your Lord is your strength. So the Levites quieted all the people, saying, be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and drink, to send portions and rejoice greatly, because they understood the words that were declared to them. So in the land of Judah, the Feast of Trumpets is observed. And notice one of the things that is commanded for us to do on the holy days. You know, we tend to look at the holy days as something very spiritual, and they are. But there's physical aspects to the holy days. Notice verse 10. This is my first point on how we should observe the Feast of Tabernacles and the various other holy days. Not the only point, not the most important point, but one of the points. Verse 10. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So one of the things that they commanded the people to do was to have a good meal. You know, there's reasons that these are called feast days. They're called feast days because on these days, the children of Israel, children of Judah, the various people that were observing the holy days, had a very nice meal. They may not have been able to afford a nice meal at other times, but on these days, it was very special. So one of the things that makes the holy days very enjoyable, and I know it's purely a physical point, but it's still commanded, is that we enjoy a good meal. There's nothing like enjoying a good meal, sitting with friends, fellowshipping and talking. One of the things that we used to do at my house before all of them moved away was we would have a meal every Friday night without fail unless somebody was out of town or something was going on. And that helped us to bond as a family. And eating a meal with others of like mind does the same thing. So one of the main things that we should do is not to forsake being together with other people of like mind and enjoying a good meal. Let's go to Deuteronomy. Keep your place in Nehemiah. We're going to come back to here. We're looking at this concept of eating a good meal and enjoying physical things. And one of the things that makes the feast so enjoyable for children is some of the physical attributes of it. They learn the spiritual later on, and they learn some of it early, but physical attributes of the feast are very important to our children. Deuteronomy chapter 14. And we're going to look at verse 22. You shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. And so this is talking about tithing to support the feast. And verse 23, and you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide. Some of us are going to different feast sites. We're going to be in Antigua, Guatemala. Some of you are going to be in various places in the United States. Wherever God has placed his name, we're supposed to eat there before him. The tithe of your grain, of your new wine, of all the oil, the firstborn of your herds, your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. These were an agricultural people. They therefore had a lot of produce. You take the best of your produce with you. If, verse 24, the journey is too long, you turn it into money. So you sell it, and then you use the money to procure food. Verse 25, then you shall exchange it, the money, or the tithe for money. Take the money in your hand and go to the place which your Lord your God chooses. And you shall spend that money for whatever your heart desires. A nice steak, some mutton, wine, similar drink, whatever your heart desires. So this is a time, brethren, to enjoy the physical. To enjoy a good meal is one of the attributes of enjoying the feast. At the Feast of Tabernacles, you should plan on enjoying several meals with your family and with your friends. Actually, make a date. We're all going to eat together at this place, or we're all going to come here to eat, or we're all going to go over there to eat, or we're all going to go on a picnic, or whatever it happens to be. So one of the commands given in Nehemiah is to enjoy a good meal. Second, let's go back to the book of Jeremiah. Second point that I want to cover is found in Nehemiah, verse 9. Middle of the verse. This day is holy. Do not mourn nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. You can imagine the emotions going through their minds. Then verse 10, go and eat. Notice the last part of verse 10. Do not sorrow, for the joy of your Lord is in your strength. So the Levites quieted all the people, saying, be still, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and drink, to send portions, and to rejoice greatly. One of the things we should be doing at the feast is rejoicing. Can you imagine, brethren, the reward that awaits us after the resurrection when Christ brings his kingdom and the first resurrection takes place? And we inherit all the promises mentioned in the Old Testament, and then the future is stretched before us. That should make us rejoice exceedingly. We should be joyful. No matter, and I understand that there's physical problems, and it's right to sorrow sometimes, but the Feast of Tabernacles is not the place to be sorrowful. You should be happy and uplifted in the Feast of Tabernacles. Some of the things that God gives us that we should be happy about are his truth. He gives us his truth. He gives us of his Holy Spirit. He gives us sonship and the ability to become his daughters, his sons. We have our sins forgiven. We receive salvation, eternal life, and all that goes with it. We understand and know his plan. We understand that God is bringing a new kingdom pictured by the Feast of Tabernacles. So one of the things that God commands us to do is to be happy. To be happy. So do the things at the feast that will make you happy. Be joyful. Don't be sorrowful. Don't be sad. Try to look at things in a way that will make you happy, that'll make you joyful. We're supposed to be joyful. Third part, our third point, found in Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 5. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened the book, or the scroll, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And the people answered, Amen. They bowed and worshipped with their faces to the ground. The officials in verse 7 helped the people to understand what was being talked about. You know, we have speakers at the feast. They're going to get up and they're going to expound certain points of Scripture. And they're going to help you to understand. Verse 8. So they read distinctly from the book in the law of God. And they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. Main thing at the feast, brethren, is we are there to learn. So that means you should plan on attending all the services. Attending all the services. I understand that people get sick, that transmissions fail, and things like that. But plan on attending all of the services. I was computing it the other day, and at most feast sites, depending on the speaking schedule and everything, you have about 20 hours of Bible studies, sermons, sermonettes, videos, etc. Take advantage of them. Be a good disciple. A disciple is someone that learns. Plan on being there. This is probably the most important reason for the feast, is that we need to plan on being there so that we can listen and learn and study God's word and come to understand it better. Very soon, brethren, one more full moon, very soon we will be observing the Feast of Tabernacles. Many, many different places. We are all privileged to be in a beautiful sight at that time. There's going to be plenty of food, joyous activities, and excellent sermons. We need to remember the instructions that were given here by Nehemiah and Ezra many, many years ago, about probably 2,400 years ago, these instructions were given. They are excellent instructions for our time. We're commanded to enjoy good food, we're commanded to be joyful, and we're commanded to study and listen to God's word. These instructions can help you to have a very joyous Feast of Tabernacles.